On radio. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com.
Talking Tech. With the techie guy, Leon Segev. On CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, guys. You'll probably notice that I do not sound anything like Leron Segev. I'm Tanya Kowalski, standing in for Leron. Leron is cruising in Barcelona at the moment for Mobile World Conference. I know, poor guy. So if you want to follow what he's up to at MWC, you can follow him on Leron Segev, L-I-R-O-N. S-E-G-E-V. It's awesome to have an all-female team today. I'm joined by Claire.
Hi.
Claire Mathis from Brainstorm Magazine. How's it, Claire?
Good, and you?
Good, thank you. Good, you it's not a blue Monday. Are you full of caffeine?
Yes, we're sorted. We're sorted. We're ready to do this.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
And it's quite a breath of fresh air without Leron.
Yeah.
But we do have the awesome Duncan with us, who's producing the show. So
yes.
That, at least we've got some male
bit
energy
of testosterone
here. Absolutely. Okay, so this week we'll be chatting about iPads in the classroom, how tech is transforming learners' and teachers' lives. We'll be speaking to Michelle DeSouce a little bit later, and we're also going to see what's new on the tech scene, what everyone is talking about, and what we can watch out for this week and in coming weeks. If you'd like to tweet us, you can do so at cliffcentral.com. So that's Twitter at cliffcentral.com. And yeah, if you want to tweet me, you can tweet me at Tanya Kowalski. That's T-A-N-Y-A-K-O-V-A-R-S-K-Y. Claire, do you want to chat us through your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is Claire Petra, C-L-A-R-E-P-E-T-R-A.
Okay, and of course, yeah, so tweet us. You can also Instagram us if you want at Cliff Central. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. So, Claire, what's
before
news?
We
what's
get
happening
to Michelle,
this week?
Yes. Before we get to Michelle, I wanted to talk about the Hack Josie Challenge.
Okay.
My heart dropped because I saw that maybe the closing date for this was the 15th of February, but I see they've extended it to the end of this week, which is great.
Okay. Hack Sounds, is it legal hack?
Yes.
Is it a hack of the good variety?
Yes. It's the city of Joburg is trying to get a few people to, come up with, they've launched a new initiative, 5 million rand Hack Josie, and hopes they are in the hopes of finding tech savvy sort of entrepreneurs to help address community needs using sort of digital technology. So you they're trying to get people to foster their skills, look at innovation, anything entrepreneurial, just to get in the hopes of helping the city of Johannesburg to run a bit better. So they're looking for entrepreneurs or teams, hoping that with the relevant technological skills, but they are hoping that they can get some startups to apply.
Okay.
Just got my papers all muddled up here. You're looking at introducing sort of yourself and teammates in a video. You're telling the story behind your project. You've got to share any progress you've made so far, any photos, any prototypes, anything you've done. You've got to share a timeline of how you plan to complete your project and send out the rewards. Be open and honest about whatever you're still trying to sort out. So they're very, anyone can apply. You would submit a YouTube video or complete an online application form. So if you could visit the How to Apply page for the Josie Hack would be great.
Okay. And can anyone enter?
Anyone, no problem. Teams, entrepreneurs, anyone can enter.
Okay.
They would like you to have some sort of technological background, but I'm sure they're quite willing. If you've got an idea and you've got a great video, I'm sure they're very happy to look at you.
Okay.
Especially if you're looking at solutions and those kind of
that
things.
That sounds pretty cool. Mm. And what is the email address or URL to enter or to submit details?
I just did a Google search for hashtag hack.josiechallenge,
okay,
and it came up quite quickly. So I had no problems, but I can find it for you. Yeah, no, I would just do the Google search.
Okay,
it's probably
perfect.
The easiest way.
That sounds pretty awesome. So
if
you're feeling like you're wanting to start something cool digital, if you feel that you've got skills or you can contribute, you can win funding. Is that
right? I think it's great that the city of Joburg has opened this up it's putting a positive spin on hacking rather than a negative spin on it, and trying to find solutions rather than, get at people because we're doing the wrong thing, sort of. And we know we know when you're doing something illegal, you usually find something quite clever to come up with. So I think this is maybe a good way to spin it and turn it into something good.
It sounds like you speak from experience.
No. I know nothing. Hands up in the air, nothing.
And I assume there's no age limit.
You have to be between the ages of 18 and 35.
Okay.
Again, I'm sure if you snuck in a video, if you were a bit young, I think 18 is probably the youngest, but anything over that, I'm sure they'd still have a look at you.
Yeah.
You know, if you've come up with something great, why not, you know?
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I think if it's hacking, rules shouldn't really apply. But then again, it's maybe not my call to make a judgment on challenge.
We don't want to encourage it, do we? Unless it's in the legit or yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds quite exciting. I mean, I know I've only given you a couple of days to get it together if anyone is interested, but it would be, I mean, I think it's a great initiative to get involved with. I mean, IBM's involved, and then Small Seed is involved, and, you know, all those, it's very cool.
Okay.
Cool little project, yeah.
Sounds cool. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
I'm counting the sleeps till next Monday, which is March the 9th.
Are you doing another show?
No. That's something I don't count the sleeps towards. No, I'm just kidding. It is another Apple announcement.
Oh, yes.
And so there's no secret behind it. It's the Apple Watch event. It's likely that they'll announce their pricing and when it's available in the US.
Oh, how exciting.
Which is something I'm really excited about. They're doing the announcement in San Francisco, and they are calling it, the tagline is Spring Forward.
Oh, very cool.
So possible reference to the season. America's going to mm-hmm. spring soon, and time. Spring
so you can't time. Give us any deets that might be leaked for now, can you? Do we have to wait
until
Monday?
Yeah, sure. You know what? Tim Cook emailed me last night with all the details.
We know he did.
And I know exactly when it's launching in South Africa. So you'll just have to hack my computer to see. No, I swear, I mean, like anyone else and probably most Apple employees,
everything
I know
under
as
wraps.
Much as you or the next
awesome.
Person.
Exciting, yeah. What time is that announcement, sort of our time?
So
or?
It's probably evening our time because it's usually daytime theirs.
Yeah.
And they're about 8 hours behind. So.
Okay, so let's look out for that
is
what you're
saying. Yeah, but we'll remind Liron to remind everyone on the Monday show.
When he's back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Good news for Blogger fans being hosted on Google.
Oh, yeah?
They can carry on posting nude pictures.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
So they threatened, I think it was last week, that they were going to take all explicit content and pictures off Blogspot, off their blogging platforms. There was obviously an outcry.
Yes.
And now they basically said you can carry on blogging your nude pictures.
Okay, but what are you teaching people if there's an outcry and then you go, okay, fine, we'll let you have what you want?
So
I'm sure the bloggers are excited.
Yeah, they must
getting
be.
Getting their
I'm
cameras
sure the readers,
out.
The readers are as well. So if you are blogging explicit content on your blogger platform, do not worry.
You're
you still
welcome
have the go ahead. Yeah.
Perfect. Very cool. Yeah.
Cool. So we have Mish coming up. Mish is from Think Ahead and iSchool Africa. We'll take a quick break and then bring on Mish.
It's time for a WeChat workout. WeChat. Go to the Cliff Central account. Tap connect. Then message to show.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Michelle Lesus with us, who's director of iSchool Africa, and she'll be talking us through iPads in classrooms and how iPads are revolutionizing the way teachers are teaching and learners are learning, and in fact, parents are parenting. From our perspective, Mish, welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me here.
Anytime, Duncan. You're so outnumbered here, I'm afraid.
He loves it.
Yeah, no. Producer has a massive smile on his face. Okay, Mish, you come from a very successful iPad Ed Summit 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Which we'll chat a little bit more about. But first I want to get started with what do you do? What is iSchool Africa? When was it started?
Okay. Well, thanks for having me here. We had a very exciting time in education where we as educators and as parents have a huge challenge to prepare our students and our kids for a world that is changing so rapidly. We're teaching the selfie and the hashtag generation, and we need to make sure that our schools are changing in line with the world that is changing. And that's why iSchool Africa has come about. And iSCO Africa started in 2009 with the belief that this change, this technology, isn't only for the elite, it isn't only for the privileged, it's for every single child in South Africa. And so we introduced this program, iSCO Africa, that introduces iPads and teacher training to schools across South Africa. And we're currently in over 140 schools, rural schools, township schools, remedial schools, special needs schools, from early childhood to matric. And it's just amazing to see what's happening in the classroom and how things are changing. And I mean, you know that kids, they know technology.
They just do it.
Yeah. Their eyes, we don't have to teach them how to use the iPads. We just have to teach them how to learn with them. And it changes them. They love learning with them. The one teacher says to me, "Michelle, no one misses an iPad lesson."
Oh, lovely.
So kids are disciplines improved, motivations improved, numeracy, literacy. And I mean, I think it goes without saying, the challenges in our country in education, we cannot ignore them. No. I mean, it's one of the biggest threats to the future of South Africa. And I think iSCO Africa is a good solution to be addressing this.
Are the teachers embracing iSCO Africa? Because I would think some of the older generation might be a bit intimidated by an iPad, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of interventions fail because of teacher adaption, because teachers have been doing things for so long. Mm. We've got unions, we've got teachers don't want extra work. But the one thing about iPads is they are easy to use. Mm. So that's the first thing. The second thing is iSCO Africa is not about technology.
Right.
It's about learning and teaching.
Okay.
So we've got a very systematic program on teaching teachers how to teach with iPads.
Okay.
So it's and I think also a great thing about iPads, it's not something that's made for the classroom. So teachers see bankers use it, they see people, so it's, they're using consumer technology. Mm. So it gives them status. And I think one thing teachers need in our community is status.
Mm. Mm. I mean, they're fun to use as well. That's the other thing. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, flicking from one page to another is quite cool.
And it makes learning fun, which is a big, huge thing. I mean, if I had iPad now for the periodic table, I think I would have done a lot better.
But I must say, like, you speak about teachers embracing it. Like, I take my hats off to teachers who've, for 30, 40 years, been using blackboards, chalk, and
paper.
Now they have to embrace videos and tech and smart boards and Apple TVs. It's unbelievable. And they're getting, I mean, I witnessed them at the iPad Ed Summit, which we'll chat about just now. These teachers look like kids in a classroom, creating their own videos and projects. It was amazing to see. But I high-five teachers who have embraced it and who are using it to complement, not overtake, their classroom learning.
I agree with you 100%, Tanya, because especially teachers have been doing the same thing. Why change?
Yeah.
And I think teachers who really believe in the potential of their kids are changing.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's not about being techno geek or anything. It's just about promising your kids a good future.
Well,
and that's amazing.
I mean, that term geek is just, it's redundant now. I think everybody needs to embrace technology and get, I mean, I know my mother doesn't even use a cell phone, and I just think this is not the time to not embrace technology. I think everybody just needs to know what they're talking about and get onto it.
I heard a brilliant definition for a geek. It's someone who uses technology when it's not absolutely necessary.
Yes, brilliant. It's exactly
so
right.
I think you have to use it. It's not about being a geek.
But now let me just ask you, if an iPad is, you know, pulled into the classroom, is it not distracting? Does it not take away from the content? Or have you found that people are actually more, you know, interested in the content that they're supposed to be doing in a classroom rather than popping off and watching a quick video or popping onto Facebook quickly or something?
I mean, I think the iPad has the potential to be distracting, but we always say to teachers, the best classroom management tool is a good lesson.
Mm.
I mean, there's always been distractions in a class.
Exactly.
I think the iPad is blamed for a lot of things. Blamed for bad parenting. If someone puts their child in front of an iPad for 4 hours, televisions are blamed for bad parenting. The iPad can be distracting, but the iPad, when used properly and used in moderation, like anything else, is the most phenomenal learning tool. So use it properly, use it responsibly, and use it to its full potential.
Yes.
And it changes. We've seen changes in teachers and learners and students that we didn't believe possible.
Yeah, so there's not even an age, you know, it's not even specific to an age that, you know, a certain age would respond, but, you know.
And you have to be responsible. You know, I mean, for a kid to come home and spend 6 hours in front of any technology, I mean, the good thing about an iPad is that it is engagement and it is interactive and it is cause and effect. It's not static. But it can be blamed for a lot of things.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Talk us through a typical lesson, because I think, and I mean, I chose my son's school based on whether they were using iPads or not. They do, so, it was a go.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that. but a lot of my peers think the teacher's going to put an iPad in front of the class and leave them to their devices, and it's almost lazy teaching or lazy learning. How does it actually work in a classroom? What would a teacher
do with an iPad?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the first thing is that if you have an iPad school, iPads aren't used 100% of the time. They're only used for tasks that can be done 100% better with iPads. So there is still, you still have to, especially when your kids are small, there's still skills you need to learn. You still need to learn to write. You still need motor skills. We teach teachers to only use iPads with a task that can only be done better. And then there are the four C's of using an iPad. There's consumption of content, so you get content. There's creation of content, so kids create content. There's collaboration, and there's communication. And those are the four things that iPads used in a lesson. So in a lesson, it is a blended approach that we say. So that iPad will be used for explaining a concept, or it'll be used for reinforcement, or it'll be used for creating a project, or it'll be used for recording. So it really is looking at the lesson. We teach teachers to look at the lesson, what are the outcomes, and where can the iPad be used best to explain that concept. So it's not a passive, okay, they go in, sit at the iPad, and that's 40 minutes.
Wouldn't work.
Another thing that worries me is when I get, you know, friends saying, oh, iPads are learning of the future. It's future classroom. But yeah, I try and tell them it's actually current. It's happening now.
The future is now.
Yeah, the future is now. And I'm nervous to ban my child from using an iPad because I'm scared he's going to be left behind. Is it better to start earlier, later? Should classes or schools be adopting iPad learning now?
You cannot not have technology in school now. Mm-hmm. It's not the future classroom. Look at the workspace. Look at social. I mean, just an example now is at what age are kids now learning using social media? If they banned from it, they cannot be taught how to use it responsibly. Mm-hmm. So I think there cannot be a disconnect between kids' lives and their education. They have to be brought together. And so I don't think there is any debate now about whether there should be technology in the classroom. Now it's about making sure it's the best integration of technology in the classroom. I think that debate is so over now. I think it needs to be done properly. It needs to be responsibly. Parents need to be educated more than children. Teachers need to be educated. But the future, we're in the future. I mean, when I hear people ask, how would you describe the classroom of the future? Or let's make sure you've got 21st century skills. We're in the 21st century. Yeah. I mean, it's happening now.
Yeah, people are kind of lying to themselves, aren't they? Saying it's not coming, but it is. And it's here.
And it's here. And it's like anything else. You want your children to learn in a safe place.
Yeah.
You want to know. I mean, I read a great article yesterday about the fact that if you worried about your teenager, if you go onto their Instagram, there's so many things you will be able to see from what they're portraying that they wouldn't be able to tell you. So it's like almost a window into their soul that they can't tell you. So I think you just have to learn a responsible place of putting it, and you cannot ban it.
And how talk us through an iSchool Africa program. So a school gets funding, or how does it work with the actual implementation of iPads into school, the sponsorship and the follow-up and the facilitation?
So iSchool Africa is about going into what we would call schools that are under-resourced. So the first thing is we find a sponsor, and it can be a government sponsor. For example, we work very closely with the Department of Rural Development, or a corporate sponsor. We work with Piedmont Schools. We work with BMW. And they sponsor schools. And the thing about iSchool Africa, it's a program. You get a mobile lab of 20 iPads, and the iPads are preloaded with apps, so you don't rely on the internet.
Mm. And who's loaded the apps? Who's recommended?
iSchool Africa. Okay. And the apps are aligned to the curriculum, and the mobile lab moves from classroom to classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not stuck. You get it's accessible, and the kids engage with the iPads. But the most important thing is an iSchool Africa facilitator is appointed per school.
Oh, excellent.
So you don't just dump the technology.
Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of government interventions haven't worked because there hasn't been teacher training and there hasn't been a follow-up.
Mm.
So the iSchool Africa facilitator remains with that school, works with the teachers, and we create iPad champions at all the schools.
Fantastic.
So it's absolutely sustainable. And we do a lot of monitoring and evaluation. And then when we move away from the school, that school can manage that iPad lab by itself.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an amazing program called the iSchool Africa Youth Press Team. With that mobile lab, we create youth journalists.
Oh, excellent.
And with an iPad now, it's like you've got a full editing suite.
Mm.
And they go around and they tell stories and they tell stories about their community and everything. And I think one of our big problems is kids in a lot of our communities aren't given the confidence they deserve.
Yes.
And this gives them a lot of confidence.
Mm.
So it's a great program. And I encourage anyone who wants to come visit an iSchool Africa school contact us.
Mm. Would be lovely.
Tell us about the full editing suite of an iPad. Yes. What are they doing with their iPads?
Wait, don't get technical on me, Tanya.
Okay. So it's,
okay. Yeah.
It's using camera for video.
The iPad comes, the biggest advantage of the iPad is it comes with iLife and iWork suites.
Mm.
And those are Apple's creativity suites. So just to have the camera and just to have iMovie and GarageBand, you've got a movie suite and you've got a music suite.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what we do with iMovie is amazing. These kids make movies, they make interviews, they make music videos. They, instead of just doing a book report, they do an interview. They pretend they're characters. They go into the community on Youth Day, on Mandela Day. They interview on Women's Day. I mean, you find little gems in the community.
Mm.
And I think just to have that, it just brings learning to life.
Mm.
It's amazing. One of my best stories ever, I think it's one of the highlights of my career, was after the World Cup. If you remember, there was that terrible teacher strike.
Yes.
Mm.
All the kids in the youth press team came to our office to work.
Oh,
and I just thought they could have been on the street, but they came to sit and work on their press team instead of their own teachers at school. And I just thought, you know what? This is something that's amazing. They just love doing this.
You're creating
this.
A love for it. Really encouraging. Mm-hmm. It's good. Very nice. So tell us about something that stood out, a specific child, a specific story, something that would, that really would tug at heartstrings maybe.
Wow, there's so many. We've got this one girl in Düsseldorf next to Otsun, and she's in one of our schools. And from the iSchool Africa, she decided to set up a little after school in her granny's bedroom.
Oh my goodness.
And she used to be a teacher, and she was basically, I think she was 16 years old, and she used to give an after school to all the kids in primary school.
With her iPad.
Found her calling.
And so she would, that was amazing. We've got childhood at, so many child-headed homes that the iPad, they've won awards against private schools, and
fantastic.
Amazing. The Department of Rural Development flew the youth press team from Devon, a rural, to listen to Parliament.
Oh, wow.
To listen to them. Wow. And it was the first time, and they had to record it, and it was on the iPad. The first time these kids had been on an aeroplane, had been in a hotel, had been in the – and so I think the iPad – it just, the resources available just open up these kids to the best of the best.
Mm.
And I think that's, for me, so amazing.
Do you think they're responding better than sort of kids that maybe go to more affluent schools that think, oh, well, that have grown up with iPads and that kind of thing anyway?
You know what? It's hard to say. I think when the kids at more affluent schools see what they can produce, and if you see in our Apple and Education Awards we have every year, kids love seeing themselves on TV,
yes, no,
whatever
sure.
they're from. And also they love creativity.
Mm.
So I think the benefits are so, I think the benefits are so tangible.
Yeah.
And I think any child, whatever you, wherever you're from, when you see that, because it's tough. Learning is tough.
Maybe it's just given the chance to do something.
And I think that's amazing. And I think iPad, the tangible learning path and the visible thinking of an iPad and the visible learning is exciting for everyone.
Fantastic, yeah. Mm. It's lovely. Really nice.
I think before we go to our next break, I just want to mention that some of those tear-jerking, inspiring, amazing videos are up on YouTube. We can see amazing transformations of shy kids who are now confident and they can get up in front of their class. Or there's a brilliant story of a girl who was in the bottom 10% of her class, and then she started learning maths with an iPad and she got into the top 10% of her class. So I think all those videos, well, some, but just have tissues on hand. those videos can be seen on YouTube under the channel Apple Distributors SA. So that's Apple Distributor SA, and you can find a whole lot of amazing videos.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But let's go to a break, and then we'll come back to and chat about trends and what came out of the iPad EdTech Summit.
CliffCentral.com.
And welcome back to the show. Just to recap, if you want to follow Cliff Central on any social media platforms, find Cliff Central on Twitter at CliffCentral.com, on Instagram even, Cliff Central, on Facebook, guess, Cliff Central, and even on WeChat, you'll never believe what the handle is. It's Cliff Central. Okay, and we welcome back Michelle Lassus, who is the director of iSchool Africa, and we are chatting about iPads in classrooms and how iPads are changing and shifting the lives of learners, teachers, and I always say parents. I'm a parent, and you know, I could be here for another hour chatting about how an iPad has not only babysat my son, but given him a great education and lots of infotainment as well.
But now you were talking about a summit. What is that?
Yeah.
On the 16th and 17th of February, we had such an exciting event in Johannesburg. It was the first iPad Ed Summit featuring EdTech Teacher. An EdTech Teacher is an American organization that focuses on teacher professional development. And the core group hosted them in South Africa. And it was 2 days focusing on teaching teachers how to use iPads in And it was so exciting because we had over 400 teachers in Johannesburg who gave 2 days of their time from South Africa, including Joburg, Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, Durban, Tembisa, Katlehong, as well as Nigeria, Namibia, Botswana, and everyone came. And I think it was just the buzz of teachers wanting to learn was amazing. And with three keynote speakers from America who were superb. They were people had been in the classroom in the States, and they came to share ideas on how to use iPads in the classroom.
Fantastic.
And what were the big trends or tips that came out of there? What were teachers most excited about?
I think what's really exciting is it wasn't all brand new. And when some of the teachers came to me and said to me, but Michelle, this isn't all brand new. I said, yeah, well, I'm glad it's not all brand new. You know what I mean? It was confirming a lot of what we're doing is right. I think there were some main things that we really came across. The one thing which kept on being reinforced was it's not about the technology. It must be technology in the service of learning.
Yes.
So everything you do needs to make sure that it's led by a teaching and learning outcome. It's not by we're going to have iPads so that we tick a box so that our school can put in our newsletter that we've got iPads. It's we're going to have iPads because we're looking to have an authentic, meaningful way of presenting teaching and learning in this way.
Right.
Another question that was really I loved was, ask yourselves, and I think this relates to all of us, ask yourself as a teacher, what does awesome look like?
Yeah.
And I think that is so cool because I think as a teacher that is so great. And the whole theme of the conference was, what does an awesome teacher, what does an awesome lesson look like?
Mm.
And the other thing was, it's not about app chasing. I think when we all started having our apps, got our iPads, every time you went to a dinner party, it was like, oh, I just found an app for this and I just found an app for this.
Yes.
Whereas in teaching now, they're like 10 core apps that you can use to create. And it's about that if kids, and the main thing is, if that kids aren't digitally literate now, it's going to be as if they are illiterate.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
So it was about technology and the service for learning, importance of creativity, and the importance of digital literacy, and the importance of teacher training.
And do you think they learn from each other as well, the teachers? I mean, I know we all bounce ideas off of each other, especially, you know, what app is the latest thing and what works and what doesn't work. Do you think that helped?
The buzz was amazing. I think the networking, and also I think teachers starting to learn to use Twitter, starting to learn to use social media, starting to learn to share content, and the collaboration and the creativity and the curation. And that is really, really exciting.
No, it sounds fantastic.
We've just got a question on Twitter. Someone has asked, in fact, WeChat has asked, is this iPad specific or is it tablets in general?
Well, that's a very good question.
Yeah, great question.
We strongly believe in the iPad Summit or general?
General. I think the topic is, are we talking tablets or are we talking iPad specific?
We strongly believe that the creativity tools and the benefits that we've seen are iPad specific. So there are obviously 21st century tools that are tablet specific. There are 21st century tools and there are approaches that are tablet specific. But iSchool Africa and the iPad Summit and Think Ahead and are iPad specific because of the specific creativity tools, the specific ease of use, and the specific functionality that they offer. So the programs we work on are specifically iPad.
Yeah, so there's no doubt that there's probably tablets, you know, other tablets have other apps, but I mean, we are talking about iPad specifically right now.
And the programs we've seen in schools, the replacement models, and people going for cheaper options that don't have, we have seen that there have been benefit comparisons.
Yeah.
That's why iSchool Africa has chosen to go iPad.
And why would schools and tertiary institutions, why are they choosing iPad after they've gone with other tablets?
I think there are two very important reasons. One is because of the ease of use and the whole functionality system. Mm. So there's the durability, the functionality. The other is the ecosystem of support.
Mm.
So, for example, you don't have – there's iTunes U, which is hundreds and thousands of free lectures. There is there's the app system of quality controlled apps, which you don't have on other devices. And then there are programs like Think Ahead, iSchool Africa, that offer teacher training, that offer your network in South Africa.
Mm.
So it's not just about choosing a tablet or choosing a device. It's about choosing an educational solution. And I think that's very, very important. I mean, we offer parent support, we offer teacher support, we offer learner support, and I think that's really important.
So you have mentioned Think Ahead. What exactly is that?
So iSchool Africa is a program that works with under-resourced schools.
Mm-hmm.
Think Ahead is the program that works with schools that can afford their own iPads.
Okay, all right, okay, makes sense, perfect.
Do you think, and someone asked me at the summit, they said, do you think we're behind in terms of where America is in iPad and learning? Is South Africa behind? Are we on a par? Can one even make that statement?
It's a very tricky, it's a quite a broad generalization because South Africa in itself is so, and it depends who you compare it to.
Mm.
I mean, you've got a government sector, you've got a rural sector, you've got a private sector. The top schools are the top in like anywhere in the world, and the bottom schools are the bottom in anywhere in the school. I'd say generally the system is behind.
Mm.
And I think we've got a lot of catching up. And that's what I love about iSchool Africa and iPad, because with it we can leapfrog. It is a way that we can actually leapfrog to catch up with the best of the best.
Right.
Mm.
And we can learn from the best. We don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
But in terms of technology, we're definitely behind.
And are the iSchool Africa schools seeing results? We've spoken about attendance, but are they seeing, you know, marks?
Yeah.
Are their marks improving?
Yes. We definitely in the iSchool Africa seeing behavioral shifts, so attendance, discipline, absenteeism, all of that. And then we also track numeracy and literacy quite closely, and we're starting to see increases in the results as well.
And is that a direct result of iPads?
Tanya, it's very hard to say. I mean, and I would hate to, I'm sure there were some academics out there that would
take the credit.
There's some academics that would want to see all my scientific research and everything. But I can It is a contributing factor.
Yes, yeah. Okay. That's crucial. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's fun, obviously.
And it's engaging, and it's also a resource, a quality resource that they didn't have. We've got a lot of teachers in our system, unfortunately, that aren't experts in their content field. Mm. Yeah, we're getting reliable content. Right. So there are so many variables in our system, and I think it is proven to increase performance in subjects.
So I'm going to ask the very basic question of electricity.
Yes.
What happens there? Because we know we don't always have the best, you know, we can't, not reliable. iPads won't work without battery power. What happens there?
Well, even some of our rural schools don't have electricity.
Yes.
And also for load shedding. So the battery, iPad has a 10-hour battery life.
Right.
So as long as it's charged before school,
okay.
it can last through a school day. So that is a very good thing for
yes.
the for the iPad, but then also what we are looking at are there are solar solutions for charging of iPads.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Because I thought maybe with that library, you know, maybe the library had something to do with it, but I suppose that's not really.
The mobile lab, charges
sorry, yeah.
the iPads overnight.
Okay, yes.
So if there is
fine.
A charging station, they will last through the whole
okay,
day.
Okay, perfect.
And do those run on battery or
no,
electricity?
Power.
Okay.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Okay. And they don't need internet to run every day?
No.
Okay. Which is, I mean, that's a big,
it's a big,
it's a big thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big help.
Because you did say some of the apps aren't, the apps are loaded on the mm. iPad and we use those, is that correct?
Yeah,
yeah.
They are preloaded on the iPad,
perfect.
So you don't, the success of the program does not rely on connectivity.
Perfect. Mm.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so, so much for your time and all your input. Where can we find out more about Think Ahead and iSchool Africa?
I think the best place is to go onto the website,
mm-hmm.
which is iSchoolAfrica.com.
Okay.
But I'm very happy for anyone to email me at any time, which is Michelle@iSchoolAfrica.com.
Okay. And your Twitter handle again?
Is @MichelleLeSouce.
Okay.
Thank you,
awesome.
Michelle.
Oh,
thank
you very much. And
thank
have a good
you.
Week, everyone.
Yeah,
thank
you too.
CliffCentral.com.
Okay, that we just want to say hello to Bradley Marlon Sass, who is listening to the Tech Show. It's been a while, he says, so welcome back. Bradley, happy to have you.
And if you tweet us in future, we will. We might maybe feature you on air. We might mention you. So it's always worth tweeting us.
Yeah.
You get
yeah.
literally the 20 seconds of fame or infame, infamy.
Well, what I wanted to chat to you about as well is we have been talking about sort of online stalking and stuff like that
yeah.
at work, your digital footprint and being careful. We all know we need to be careful what we put out there and Facebook tracking and all that kind of stuff. And I've just finished a story on it, and that was actually quite interesting because a lot of people confuse sort of digital footprints with, you know, online stalking. And I think I've spoken to a psychologist called Liesl Faulkt, who mm-hmm. she was really, you know, wonderful. She said to me, it's actually maybe a good thing that sometimes you do have a digital footprint. We know where you are, we know who you are, you know, HR can check up on you, PR can check up on you if you're applying for jobs, anything, you know, anything like that. And it was very interesting because I think a lot of people, what instigated the whole thing was one of the girls was looking at Facebook and she'd actually just checked something out on Spree
mm-hmm.
and was freaked out because the same dress appeared on Spree as it, you know, the one she'd looked at on Spree was now on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, you know, we know that it's actually her cookies that are tracking her actual laptop and that kind of thing. But it did kind of prompt a thing about how do they know what I'm looking at and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, speaking to the psychologist, she was sort of saying, but it's actually a good thing because they're marketing products at you rather than you looking at, you know, like you would maybe want something that would be specific for your son or something like that. Whereas me with no children, I don't want to know about where I can hire a jumping castle or
absolutely.
Who's going to make cupcakes, but I would like to see what are the latest shoes or which cell phone is doing well at the moment and those kind of things.
So I guess it works to your benefit if you have a good digital footprint.
Exactly.
So if I'm looking for shoes and not, I don't know, weapons or, I don't know, porn, you know, and it comes up in my Facebook feed when I'm, you know, sitting
exactly.
with colleagues.
Yeah. The thing is, though, you have to be careful about, you know, what passwords you're putting out there, what information you're putting out there. You obviously need to be you know, careful about your settings on Facebook and those kind of things. But it's nobody stalking you is what I'm trying to say.
So you're saying the algorithms are doing it. Yes. Or the systems are doing.
Yes. And it's all for your benefits. It's just so that you don't have to sift through millions and millions and millions of adverts, but rather look at something and go, oh, wait a minute. I do like that. That's more in my style, rather than having to look at things that have absolutely nothing to do with you.
Okay. So I've actually never really ever seen it in that light. Oh my God, how does Spree and Takealot, how they infiltrate me on Facebook? Exactly. This is very freaky.
So let's not freak out about it. Big Brother's not necessarily watching you. It's maybe more for your benefit rather than for something to you.
But yeah, but
it does happen.
Yes, yeah. But we must be cautious with what we're putting out there, whether it's location or content that can be used against you.
Exactly. Or somebody steals your identity, those kind of things. Yeah. You obviously need to be very careful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can be a traumatic experience. But the thing is, nobody's out there to get you, we think, at the moment.
I don't know. I'm always neurotic. I think everyone's out to get me. Okay, but that's good to know. And this is an article that's out in your magazine,
in our magazine
at the moment.
In Brainstorm,
okay.
Yeah.
Is it online as well?
There is an online. If you go to brainstormmag.co.today, you can have a look there. That should be up there.
Okay, awesome.
And then, yeah, so really cool.
Cool. Mm. That's really good to know. Something I came across this weekend, because I'm always into books, reading print. I have a love affair with print, but I also like ebooks, reading on my Kindle as well. So I came across a site that promises to be the Groupon of books.
Oh, fantastic.
Of ebooks.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, so it's a site called BookBub. BookBub.com. And basically it has ebooks for free or at highly reduced prices. And these ebooks can be for Kindle, Kobo, Apple, and Google.
Fantastic.
So you can get huge reductions, like ebooks from like $10 to $1.99. Mm. So you click on whatever book you want, and they've got across all the genres. You've got fiction, nonfiction, crime, kids, cookery books. And when you click on the title that you want, it takes you to the platform that you want. So in my case, it would be Kindle, Amazon.
Mm-hmm. What kind of books are they?
So all kinds. You've got latest deals. You've got chick lit, erotic romance. What I have found is that these aren't exactly the 12 or the 20 best books of all time or the bestsellers.
Right.
Some of them are quite random.
Yes.
Like I've never heard of them, which isn't to say anything.
No.
But I did do some searches of popular titles or popular authors, and they don't really have them. But I'm assuming that it will grow.
But you'll get a discounted version of something.
Yeah. I mean, there's a SAS Survival Handbook, which was $15.99, is now
$1.99. Wow.
I can't tell you what the book – it's by John Lofty Wiseman, and it's the Ultimate Survival Handbook. I can't tell you much more about that.
You'd just get it for her surname, really, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. And for $1.99. I mean, who can say no to that?
Yeah.
Bestsellers. And then you've also got recommended for you. So based on what your interests are. Exactly.
No Big Brother. They're just recommending it for you.
Which is quite cool. But then they recommend books. And I'm like, no, you really don't know me.
Maybe they don't know you well enough. Not yet, anyway.
Exactly. I need to spend more time online before they really get to know me.
Perfect.
Anything cool, any apps you are recommending or using at the moment?
Personally, I've just started the Scrabble app, which I know is maybe...
No, that sounds awesome. Can you
haven't
play?
Heard of it? Oh,
no,
yes,
what is
it's
it?
You download the Scrabble app to your – well, I've got it on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And you play against your friends, or you can play against the machine. I am losing horribly. And basically, I've noticed that my vocab is – I mean, this is terrible. My vocab is maybe limited to 2 or 3 letters in a word. It's actually quite challenging. But, yeah, you can play against anyone that's sort of in your – it'll access your friends or, through Facebook or anything like that. And then you can play against your friends, which is working out quite well. I must admit, the only game I've won is somebody forfeited because they don't have the game loaded on their phone anymore. So, I'm claiming it anyway.
A win is a win. No
I'm
one needs to
it.
Know.
And
is it a free app? And is it for iOS and
yes,
Android?
Yes, yes, yes. For both platforms. And look, I've chosen the free app, and there's an advert in between every time I play. But I mean, you just click the Xbox and or the little box that has an X in it saying no thanks, and then you carry on playing. So it's quite cool.
But can't you cheat? I mean, can't you have a dictionary by your side?
Well, the cool thing is it lets you find words if you want. You know, you can obviously skip for a different letter, skip moves for a different letter, those kind of things. But there is a dictionary app on, or a dictionary search thing on it, and you can find words. I mean, I don't understand half the words the machine is telling me, so I do have to look those up often. But yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'm definitely going to download that.
Oh, quickly. My gran uses the Scrabble app to play against family and keep in touch. It's amazing to see her work the iPad, says Alexis Green. Thanks, Alexis. That's exciting.
That is fab. Alexis, please tell us what your gran's name is, because I would love to play Scrabble
Let's
with
find
her.
Find her.
Yeah, she'll probably like completely whip my ass. Anyway, cool. Yeah. So we're going to wrap up. Great show.
Thank you so much.
And testosterone, i.e. Liron Segev, will be back next week. In his usual time slot, between 10 and 11. Duncan's going to be distraught. have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks,
take care.
Guys. Bye.